Welcome to the Footy Museum and the Footy Museum Podcast. I am Justin Witte, co-director of the Footy Museum, and I am joined by Maria Van Dyken Lee. Maria, there is a lot of football being played in the world right now. Some might argue too much. There is the threat of a football-based wormhole opening because the concentration of the sport has reached epic proportions. We have all the competitions, Champions League, Europa League, all the European leagues, MLS, Women's Inaugural Gold Cup. We have the Open Cup starting next week. USL starts this week. NWSL starts next week. It's just so much. I don't know. I think it's too much, and it's just going to bend time and space. And then next week we'll just be in some sort of futuristic steampunk
Super League
submarine. The futuristic steampunk Super League.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who would play in the futuristic steampunk Super League?
Everyone. Everyone would. Every single team would. Simultaneously.
And at every decision they made, everything would change as it opened up a new reality.
Yeah, it would. And everyone would have like weird little secret superpowers that they used, and then they would gradually start to regulate each and every superpower.
And Jurgen Klopp would have like a steel top hat and a monocle, and his teeth would actually be made out of like riveted metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're halfway there.
We're there. We just got to add one more tournament and we'll be there.
And we'll be there.
Speaking of that, today was the Guardiola Kloppopalypse. So it was potentially the last meeting between Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp as two of the three top teams of the English Premier League, Liverpool and Manchester City, fought it out in a very wet, very hard fought 1-1 draw. Did you watch?
I did.
What did you think?
It was a fun watch. I just really wish that somebody would have won. And I think
towards the end,
for
Liverpool
me.
Had their chances.
Yeah, the last 5 minutes were quite tense.
Quite tense.
Yeah.
I wonder why you don't put Mo Salah in earlier in that game.
Well, he's got an injury, yeah.
I know, but he made it. It's basically...
They were basically deciding the championship today, yeah.
Or potentially, yeah. Right? Now it's there's 1 point separating the top three, and I think Liverpool and Arsenal are tied on points, and then Man City's one below in the top three. But this is what I love about true league play and everywhere but MLS is that you never know when the big game, you have an idea when you see the schedule, okay, Liverpool, mm-hmm. Man City, that's going to be a big game, but you never quite know when like the Super Bowl-esque type game is going to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's multiple, and today was definitely one, and the weather showed up full English style. It looked miserable. People were sliding around. But it was good, but it's kind of sad that between these two coaches, if this does end up being their last mm-hmm. matchup, that it was kind of...
It was very well fought.
A kind of stiff, nervous draw.
Yeah.
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 But
anyway, you could feel the love.
You could feel it. Oh, that was a prolonged embrace at the end of the match.
I wonder if they like ever call each other at nighttime. Oh. Like when the, because it's such a small fraternity,
yeah,
right?
It is.
And they're two of the only people who truly understand each other. And their lives and the pressures. And I just like to think about them both sitting in their respective homes, you know, their fireplace. And I'm just going to call Jurgen. I'm going to see what Jurgen has
to say. Or do they even think about that way? Is it kind of like a forbidden love?
Like in heat.
Where they don't want to, but they're like, they can't help it. And probably not. That probably doesn't happen. But they did play a game of soccer today and it was a tie. You know, our other team in Europe, PSV, continues to do well. Still have not lost, and they are walking away with the Eredivisie title. They beat the Go Ahead Eagles.
The Go Ahead Eagles?
This past weekend. The Dutch team called the Go Ahead Eagles, and this team fascinates me. Originally called Be Quick when they were founded in the early 20th century, shortly thereafter changed to Go Ahead, and then eventually the Go Ahead Eagles. The most American sounding name. One, everything in their logo history, everything has always been in English.
You know, some things are just better expressed in English,
yes,
I think.
Yes, Go Ahead Eagles. And I love that they're branded like a American high school team.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that stood out when I was intrigued after this game to look at their logo history. And that is the fourth iteration of the logo you see here.
Yeah.
Is shockingly similar to another logo you may have seen out there.
Wow.
Theirs is from the 80s. This is our 70s logo. So they
stole ours.
Yeah. Actually, I wonder if Billy Bauman, our designer, knowing our Dutch heritage.
He might have.
I wonder if this was a sneaky little reference.
I like it.
But.
I mean, I like ours better.
Yeah, we are. Because we are the true go-ahead Eagles.
We are.
You know who's not better, though, is the Chicago Fire, the third pillar of the Footy Museum. Who are committed to playing a hard 80 minutes of soccer every time.
Their time runs out. If games were only 80 minutes long, they'd be on top.
Well, if there weren't 12 minutes of extra time.
Yeah,
also,
that's rough.
But they once again give away a game at the very dying moments on just horrible coverage. You would think they'd watch these games and they would practice. It's just heartbreaking. Even the announcer, who's a neutral MLS announcer, is like, this is hard to watch.
Neutral
MLS? This team
MLS?
Should be better than this. Well, not neutral. I mean, very pro MLS, but supposedly neutral towards the teams.
They're never neutral. They never are. I miss this game, unfortunately, because... As one does occasionally, but what was
you've
that
seen
final?
It before though?
I've seen it before. It was a familiar narrative.
Very similar. It's like everything's new, but everything's the same. And the MLS season's long, but oh boy, does this look familiar? I did notice at the Columbus game. Remember when we talked about the Columbus opener?
Yes.
The drunk Columbus fans up in the face of the replacement referees. Well, I did notice last night that someone must have been paying attention because the minute there was a review, I noticed that police stepped in, cleared out the area, and blocked off the ref from the crowd. So I think that we played a small role.
Sorry, guys.
What else, MLS? Do you know what this is? We are looking at a framed napkin in an Espanol. And this is the first contract of Lionel Messi. I've written on the back of a napkin with FC Barcelona. This item is going up for auction later this month, expected to receive over $300,000. But I just love that Messi's first contract agreement was
on
the back of a napkin.
Humble beginnings here.
Humble beginnings. And I think this is also, that it was only in 2000. I feel like he's played forever.
I know.
Like it could have been the year 1900.
He's really not even that old.
Well, he's only what, 4 years older than you?
Yeah, I know. To me, he seems like...
Which means
without
he's like,
time,
he and I
you know,
are basically the same age.
Yeah. Certain people to me seem like without age, like Messi and Salah. I think Salah and I are the same age.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no. He's not.
He's a king. How can he be the
exactly.
same age?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm probably the same age as Jurgen Klopp. So that's. but it's fascinating. And I would have to say that. Speaking of Miami, they have started the season off against all my predictions, doing pretty well. They are leading in scoring. Messi is the top scorer. And Suarez, even though he looks like an injured former athlete who just stepped away from the bar.
He looked like he just stepped on a nail or something.
Oh, he's
all
just
the time.
Always kind of
off
balance and crooked, but
he's
scoring goals.
The man is determined.
They absolutely dismantled Orlando last week, and then they... play in a couple hours here this weekend. I still reserve judgment.
That Nashville game was close.
The Nashville game was close. There's a real rivalry there.
Yeah.
Because they met both, obviously, in the League's Cup final.
Uh-huh.
The only cup.
Yeah, the
MLS,
historic
the
League's
historic Cup. League's Cup, which we'll talk more about in a minute. but they also met in some non-existent, made-up, imaginary contest called the U.S. Open Cup. And both of those were tightly fought. And there's some real beef between the sides. But interesting about the last Miami game, one of the replacement refs was pulled at the last minute because this is him.
Did he take this
Guilherme
picture?
Serretta. That's him in a Miami CF jersey from last year. This surfaced and was removed.
Goodness.
You don't post pictures online, people. But also this ref situation, is not only annoying because they are not doing a great job, because how could they really, right?
It makes sense. It's not what they were doing. It's not how they were prepared. It's not what they're used to.
Right.
It's not.
But there's also been a lot of reporting this week out of The Guardian and other sources how the MLS has dictated to all their broadcast teams on Apple not to comment on or address the ref situation, not to beleaguer it, I think is the language.
Yes. Total control here.
And it's jarring also because this past week started CONCACAF Champions Cup. So you have the North American, Central American, and Caribbean teams, club teams facing off for the championship of the region.
Yeah.
But those games are not on Apple. They are broadcast on Fox. Uh-huh. And it was jarring to watch them because that's where the Nashville Miami game this past week was actually CONCACAF Champions Cup on Wednesday. To hear the announcers all of a sudden refer to the Open Cup, refer to USL, refer to the ref situation. It was like being pulled out of an alternate universe.
Yeah.
And I just think this bubble that MLS is working so hard to create to protect itself from other leagues, from reality, it's just detrimental. It doesn't make sense because all of that adds to the drama and the story around the games, like the interest to act like everything's fine in our little commercial
censorship
bubble.
And a governing body. Yeah. Wow. And then you come out of the cave.
And come out of the cave.
And watch sweet soccer on Fox.
Yeah, I know. Fox, the arbiter of truth. Oh, quickly, other MLS news. NYFC, in a brief, brief 11 years after their founding, have finally announced and got plans approved to build a new stadium.
I don't know how you can be part of the City Group and not have a soccer-specific stadium already.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when you're just not taken too seriously. But this, the stadium, which is apparently going to be named Naming Rights Sponsor Stadium, just that's the direction we're going.
I thought
going
it was going to be called The Cube.
Well, it is being called The Cube.
Okay.
Because the entrance is this large wraparound LED screen, which shows that this is primarily probably going to be a concert venue with soccer played there.
I love
part of the time. I think it's interesting. It's right next to where the Mets play out in Queens. So it's good for them. I mean, it's been a long time. They're promoting it, though, as the first ever soccer-specific professional soccer stadium in New York. And I'm curious if that's actually the case, considering the long history.
Probably not the case.
Yeah, we'd have to look more into that. They also announced this week a rebranding of their identity, not their logo, but kind of their graphic identity. Mm-hmm. And I was curious what you thought of it.
Okay.
One, the font I like because it looks a lot like our font, but also their color scheme, they tried to tie it in with very specific things from the city, the Skyline Blue, Bright White, Late Night Navy, New York City Orange, but it's like basically every color.
Yeah, it's a lot of colors.
It's just too many colors.
They can use
it's not an identity. And, and you can see some of the kind of graphics there on the tech side.
Yeah.
They look like, what are those Olympic pictograph forms called? That I don't know, they're very simple and almost like children's book-esque.
Yeah. I understand.
With these
what you're
bright
saying.
Colors. Like, yeah, what is your really take? Icons.
My take is that this, okay, so the number of colors on their brand sheet would be like the number of colors you would use for like a whole website.
Yeah.
But maybe not the number of colors you would use for like the specific merchandise that's going out for the club. I do like that it looks like they took the Late Night Navy and the NYC Orange that they have on their kit and they incorporated that. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, this is their new guideline, so it probably is going to be used more throughout the website. It's not like you're going to see all these colors together on their kits or things like that.
It feels really like trendy and basic.
It seems simple
and
generic. And that seems to be a style at the moment, which I don't understand.
I thought we were moving more into a maximalist style in general. I thought we had been in minimalism for so long that there was...
Maybe the pendulum's so fast now, before you even get to one end, it's the other. And now
micro
we're
trends.
So, maybe the pendulum's just kind of like stopping.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Micro trends. It does feel generic to me. Other U.S. soccer going on is, speaking of CONCACAF, is the inaugural Women's CONCACAF Gold Cup, which kicked off this year with 12 teams. So it's a little smaller than the men's side at this point. And the U.S. playing under their inaugural, no, I'm sorry, under their interim coach, Twyla Kilgore, to the end of the English season when Emma Hayes will come over and take over the team. This is a big tournament because it is really the first major tournament to follow the extremely disappointing World Cup. And things didn't start off so good as the U.S. lost 2-0 to Mexico in the group stage, and it was kind of doom and gloom. Oh. But then they went on to beat Colombia and then beat Canada in the semifinal at Snapdragon Stadium, where the final in also be in the worst conditions.
Sunny San Diego.
Imaginable.
It's like they never, it's like the person calling the game or whoever makes that decision, the ref or the commissioner or whatever, had never seen rain before and didn't know that rain is bad.
Yeah.
Not much rain equals bad.
I was also surprised. It must have been a lot of rain because Snapdragon is a pretty new stadium and the drainage problem, they didn't quite get that solved. There was huge puddles on the field.
The ball wasn't moving.
Here we see Alex Morgan, one of the only very few veteran players on this team, a lot of young players, in a collision where she's lucky really not to have blown out her knee.
Yeah.
But you get a real sense of the conditions. But I want to hand it to Nike because we often come down hard on their kits, these splatter kits being one of them. But little did we know, these kits were just predicting this game.
It's true.
They were just saying the Gold Cup will be here and these will blend in perfectly with this puddle of a game.
My goodness.
Before I just mentioned, the U.S. did end up winning and penalty kick single-handedly stopped on the U.S. side and scored in the U.S. side by the goalie, Nayer.
It's like she had something to prove. It's like she was, keeps waking up in the middle of the night from a terrible dream.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like she's experienced her either hero or villain origin story, and it set her down this path to this moment, and now another penalty will never get by her.
Never, ever again. She had three stops in the shootout, and she scored one from the spot for the U.S., which was pivotal, as they ended up winning the game, and now they face Brazil this afternoon, this Sunday. There is another tournament around the corner, and that is starting in just over a week, the U.S. Open Cup. The U.S. partially open, fully open, but not fully utilized. The Asterix Open Cup? I don't know. So the U.S. Open Cup, the oldest competition in the U.S., it is the Open Cup of the country to be the champion of the U.S., the one that which MLS does not want to play because they do not want to have to pay for squads deep enough to compete on multiple levels. And the flip side is they don't want to tarnish their image and look like they might have that mentality. Yeah. So their response is, we just don't want to participate. They were forced to. They're just sending top eight teams who are not competing in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, so they don't have to strain those teams, but still hopefully have teams good enough to not risk embarrassment or damage to their brand. But there are still, the tournament is still going on, and I think it's important that we
life finds
follow
a way.
It and we support it, and so that it continues past this moment. So the first round kicks off next week. I think the 19th is the first round of games. Tons of teams we have from all different levels, from amateur all the way up to USL Championship. And there are three Chicago teams that are involved. That is Chicago Fire FC 2, which is the third tier MLS Next Pro reserve team for the Fire. You have Chicago City Soccer Club, which is a USL 2 side.
Which is a fourth tier.
Yeah, because it's the third tier of USL.
Yeah.
Which would then make it technically fourth tier.
So confusing.
And then Chicago House Athletic Club, which is part of the Midwest Professional.
The Midwest Premier League.
Midwest Premier League, excuse me. And they aspire to be kind of a classic athletic club that houses many different teams. And it's actually a cool club that has a very strong kind of ethos when it comes to social stances and providing platforms for a wide range of diverse voices. So it's a really unique club. And I think that they were actually, in their founding, part of a different league.
They were part of NISL, right? Mm-hmm. And then
that went away.
This year, they're just starting
in the Midwest Premier League. A Chicago City Soccer Club will actually taking on Chicago Fire FC 2. And Chicago House will be playing Minnesota United FC 2.
Now there is a game I would love to see.
Why, you have some beef with the Loons?
I would love to be able to go to that one with my brother. That would be fun.
Are you going to follow any of these Chicago teams, or do you have another team you're going to follow through
Open Cup? I'll be pulling for the Chicago teams through and through. But then I thought, okay, I also want to just like adopt a club and root for a team that could take it all.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, who am I going to pick? I don't want to be like a regional competitor. Uh-huh. It's got to be far enough away that it's just no connection at all.
Oh,
nothing.
Okay. No
nothing personal.
Okay.
This is just me
picking a team.
Throwing out a reel. All right.
Who's it
reeling
gonna be?
It in.
Who's it going to be?
I have chosen for my adopt a club. The Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Well, it's a very historic team.
Yeah.
It's a very historic team.
I was like, Sunshine, that's not something I'm familiar with.
You're a big Florida fan?
I've been to Florida a couple times. Yeah, you won't hear me stop talking about Florida. Yeah, so I think the mustache guy on their crest is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Reminds me of like the 2010s.
Well, I will be keeping an eye on these Chicago teams, try to go some games. I think I will be following, along as I will be following in the USL, would be Detroit City FC. Almost the reverse of what you're saying, because of the Michigan connection.
Yeah.
Because of our connections with Joe and everyone over there. And I love kind of their ultra culture, how exciting the fan base is, and how that the team has kind of a chip on your shoulder ethos that I really enjoy.
I will be rooting for them as well.
Yeah.
But my chosen adopt a club from which I have no emotional connection at all.
The Tampa Bay Rowdies. They've been around a long time.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit. Have you looked into your new adopted club?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So they were first active in 1975 and then ended up dissolving in 93. They were part of the original NASL, or North American Soccer League.
NASL.
And then they were reformed in 2008 and now play as part of the USL Championship, which is the second tier of professional. But I really, they were last season second from the top in their conference. And I hate to pick actual first place winners. So it's like, it's better to root for a kind of underdog.
Wait, but you're a Leeds fan.
And they're in second place, right? So, I was like, okay, this feels good. This feels right. It feels like they have a shot at taking the whole thing.
Speaking of these teams, USL also kicked off this past weekend. I was able to catch parts of some games. Memphis 901 versus Las Vegas Lights was a fun game. And saw a brilliant goal by... I think his name is Knight Pickering. Knight, N-I-G-H-T-E.
E.
Yes. But I'm noticing on these USL games, one thing I like is a lot of the stadiums are very nestled in neighborhoods because they're small by comparison to MLS stadiums. So you get a sense of some of these older teams we've been studying. But I really think that CBS and ESPN should chip in if they want to make a run of this. And invest in some improved broadcast quality.
Oh, yeah.
It is very single camera, non-HD.
Whose dad can do it today?
It's kind of like MLS 1990s. And if you get past that, you see the level of play is pretty close on par with a lot of MLS teams. It's like right there. But that is tough. And you see a lot of like, but I think that will change. So that's starting, and a lot more of their games are being broadcast on stream free by CBS Golazo Network and on ESPN. So I encourage people to check that out, especially as we roll into the Open Cup. There's a few other things I wanted to mention. this week. And that is, one, do you know what we're looking at?
Royale with cheese.
A royale with cheese. Royale with cheese is what?
It's a quarter pounder in France.
Yeah, and why would I be
Because they showing? Don't have pounds in France.
That's right. But also because the new official name of League League One McDonald's, the primary sponsor of the top division, French League, is announced.
Because when I think
will
France,
be McDonald's, and it I will be part McDonald's. Of the title of the league. And I think they missed a royal opportunity because they could have been the Royale with Cheese League.
The Royale RCL. With Fromage.
Royale
Fromage League.
No, it's Royale with Cheese. With cheese. This we're looking at it right here. I think it's hilarious. And what a strange branding. And I McDonald's, which is housed here in Chicago, they actually have their headquarters in the very hip Fulton Market area downtown.
They do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh my gosh. Well,
is how much of my brain is thinking about McDonald's.
You know,
the
founder of McDonald's, Roy Kroc, went to Oak Park River Forest High School.
No.
Yeah, right where we live. But I'm wondering what their decision to, one, out of nowhere, decide to sponsor the French League. Because knowing that would be well received, French love being forced into being branded by American things. I think that seems like a very French.
Yeah.
They'd be received very well.
I think maybe this has something to do with French fries.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The most basic word associated. What else can we do that's French?
I just can't
What else? Branding ideas, people. Branding. What else can we do that's French?
I think next season... When we see Mbappe running out with the giant grimace and Ronald McDonald, it's just going to be so wonderful.
I think the Hamburglar seems more French to me.
What could be a worse
stripes?
What could be a worse sponsor for a league? Like waste management, maybe.
Yeah, no, because people need that.
Yeah,
it's an essential service.
It still would be a bad Marlboro, maybe. Or Tesla, maybe would be bad.
Maybe.
Or X.
Yeah.
Also this week, LeBron James dropped his collaboration with Liverpool FC on a line of clothing and also shoes. Did you see these?
I didn't see these. These are nice.
They are nice. The You'll Never Walk Alone, YNWA on a, this is just two of, there's a full line with full jackets and everything. But the basketball jersey with the soccer jersey and also the shoes, very nice quality and kind of a cool cross promotion. LeBron, obviously a huge Liverpool fan. And is he an investor as well? So it's actually a collaboration between LeBron and Liverpool, this LeBron collection, which you can buy through the Liverpool website and other sources. But it also includes a pair of his Nike branded shoes that are Liverpool specific. I think there's actually more than just one option, but it's kind of a neat crossover and it points to how so much of the game is kind of going beyond the game, just about kind of like style and identity.
Yeah.
So who do you want to pair with a major global football club?
Most of my clothes come from the Gap.
Well,
so
that would be good.
I would love to see some Gap basics. Just Heather Gray t-shirts. Sports.
What would be the most Gap team?
Let's see, what league?
MLS.
MLS, the most Gap league.
Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, it's just Sporting Kansas City.
Brought to you by Gap. Well, I'm actually surprised that we don't see like a Taylor Swift take over.
Well, she's NFL.
But she's going to wake up at some point. Like someone's going to say, hey, you know, you chose the wrong league.
You chose her on sport.
If you really want global dominance, you really chose.
I don't think
wrong.
She needs anybody's help for global dominance.
I know, but she's got to, you know, she adds layers everywhere. I think that would be good. And, you know, maybe that's Kansas City too because of.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. Gap and Taylor Swift.
There you go.
That makes sense.
So those are just some of the many, many things going on. And I'm sure we've missed all the important ones, but those are the ones we talked about this week.
Which is what makes our podcast stand out. You can send your Gap gift cards to the Footy Museum.
Yes. And that's this week's story of football.
Talk to you soon. Soccer kind.
The soccer kind. All right. Goodbye.